This afternoon we open the Word of God in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14 to chapter 4 verse 16 is our scripture passage. Ephesians 3 verse 14. This is the Word of God. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's our scripture passage. On this and other words of God, we also base our confession. And in the exposition of the doctrine of salvation, we have come to Lord's Day 21. So let us turn to page 27 in the back of our Psalter hymnal, where we find Lord's Day 21, and where we echo the Word of God as follows. What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? I believe that the Son of God, through his Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in the true faith. And of this community I am and always will be a living member. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that believers, one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it his duty to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. What do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? I believe that God, because of Christ's atonement, will never hold against me any of my sins, nor my sinful nature, which I need to struggle against all my life. Rather, in his grace, God grants me the righteousness of Christ to free me forever from judgment. That is Lord's Day 21. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon, brothers and sisters, I am preaching about the church. What does that mean to you? What thoughts, what associations do you have when you hear me focus your attention on the church? Are those positive thoughts? Or do you think of problems, questions, difficulties? Do you think of the Lord right away, who gathers himself a church here at Grace Reformed Church and over the whole world, also in South America, for example, through the work of MINTS, the Miami International Theological Seminary, or in the Middle East, through the Middle East Reformed Fellowship? Or do you right away think of the many denominations, the divisions, yes, even of confusion about the church? Well, I can imagine that mentioning the church triggers all those and other thoughts, some that are sad and others that are thankful, joyous. Indeed, when you think of what you see of the church or experience in the church, there may be mixed feelings. Still, beloved, this afternoon I may focus your attention on our confession of the Holy Catholic Church of Christ. It's the church that we confess every week, sometimes in words spoken with the ecumenical creeds, or at other times we sing about it, as we did with the creedal song this afternoon, or as we will after the sermon with number 391, the church's one foundation. And we sing about Christ's church gathering work by water and word, about a church bought with blood. Those are songs of praise, confessing our joy about the church. They are not lamentations about the church. There are enough people who lament or complain about her. No, that's not because we are idealists or that we don't know of valid criticism about the church. Indeed, we ourselves are subject to much criticism from God. No, we focus on the church as our confession, and we do so with joy. When you read our confession in Lord's Day 21, brothers and sisters, it's so striking how great and majestic it sounds. You sense its greatness when you start confessing that it's a work of God the Son. The church is about him. When we think of the church, We see a building, a minister, a consistory, people, home visits and meetings. But no, it's about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, her head. We echo the scriptures which speak about the holy church of God, the bride of Christ. We hear about the church of all times and all places, and not just about this Our Grace congregation. In our scripture reading as well, we read about the church as body, as building, and we hear about such glorious aspects as her unity in the Spirit, her hope, her faith, and her baptism. Hence, we won't go by what we see, but by what we believe of the church, and that we confess. So I proclaim the building of the Holy Catholic Church as body of Christ, a building by His Holiness, a building for His Holiness, a building in His Holiness. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. We see the building of the Holy Catholic Church as body of Christ, a building by His Holiness, for His Holiness, and in His Holiness. So first of all, the building of the church by His Holiness. So brothers and sisters, let us not look at the church as a human institution, as a gathering of like-minded people with a common religious interest, but rather as a congregation of Christ, a building of God. No, I'm not suggesting this approach because you will be disappointed when you go by what meets the eye, because you will soon discover that we are not as agreed as we would like or as like-minded as we should. Rather, contrary to what you might think, the church is no human building project, even if all you see is people and people's activities. The church's secret is the fact that it's the body of Christ. It's the flock of the Good Shepherd, as the scripture portrays it in one of its many images for the church. The church is God's work, the building of God, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. It is the house of God, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. The temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. It's for this reason, beloved, that Lord's Day 21 confesses that the church is a work of the Son of God. It doesn't say that Jesus Christ gathers, defends, and preserves for Himself a church, even though we know from God's Word that the church is His body. No, we are reminded, first of all, that the church of all times and all places is God's work. It's part and parcel of God's plan and purpose with this world. In the second place, then, it speaks of us church members as people who have communion with God through Christ, who are members of Christ's body. In other words, the church is a work of the triune God, which He builds through the Son. The church is the immediate result of the work of God the Son and our redemption. It's church gathering work. It's God who in His holiness placed Christ and Him crucified in the center of His church gathering work, who builds His church. God. It's God who in His holiness has decided from eternity that He would gather a church chosen to everlasting life, who gave His Son for the building of this church. Hence, the church that God builds by his holiness is the body of Christ, built for eternal life by faith in Christ, sharing in the resurrection and the life of Christ. So God, in his holiness, beloved, builds his church by his Son, who came into the flesh for that purpose. Therefore, it's important that our triune God, by his holiness, gave the Son to be her Savior, who on the basis of his work of salvation builds the church. It's essential for the church, therefore, that the church is the body of Christ, of which he is the head and its Lord. Even the word church is denoting that fact. Kyriake in Greek, that which is of the Lord, of the Kyrios. Of that word Kyriake, the word church is derived. Or in Dutch, the word kerk. Or in Scottish, the word kirk. Or in German, the word Kirche. Kyriake, that which is of the Kyrios. In him, the church is the household of God. The Belgian Confession also articulates that, where it says that the church is a holy congregation and assembly of the true Christian believers who expect their entire salvation in Jesus Christ, are washed by his blood, and are sanctified and sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's the building of God through Jesus Christ who calls them and who gathers them around his cross. At the cross, the way to the Father begins. The worship of the triune God. Through the power of Christ's resurrection, the church has communion with God as people of God, as house of God, and as temple of the Holy Spirit. As we confess, therefore, beloved, this building of the church by God's holiness begins in eternity and ends in everlasting life. It's rooted and founded in God's eternal counsel as triune God. There, in that eternal counsel, they decided that the Father would send the Son, and together they would pour out the Holy Spirit. Behind God's work of church building, we must see what God is doing in this world, executing his eternal plan with this world. Hence, behind God's church building in this world, we must see the thoughts of God, which are higher than our thoughts. Yet we must know these thoughts, see this work, and especially in our lives. What God has planned and thought from eternity are thoughts and plans about people, concrete children of God here on earth. Hence, why are we here together in this worship service as Grace Reformed Church this afternoon? Yes, why are we here and not the neighbor down the street or down the road? Is that because we are so good? Or because we are seeking God? No. It's according to God's plan and purpose that we are here together, chosen as we are in Christ. It's because God the Father chose us as his children and gave his Son to make us his children and his Holy Spirit to work faith in Christ in our hearts that we may be our his children. It's this grace of God which is the source of the church. And it is this work in Christ that's the foundation of the church. So an eternity ago, God in his holiness thought ahead unto eternity, and by his holiness went to work on this earth in our time and with our lives, placing us together around the cross of Christ. It's in this plan of God, who by his holiness is building himself a church in Christ and made him her head. He governs the church. He builds his church by his Holy Spirit and Word. He has done so from the beginning of the world to this day. He did so in the days of Adam and Abel, of Noah and Abraham, of Moses and Aaron, of David and the prophets, through the captivity to the days of Christ Jesus. He still does. Even though we might wonder sometimes whether the church won't break down or come to naught, he gathers, defends, and preserves for himself a church by his Spirit and Word. His Word shows us the church, determines what is the church, and not people's rules and traditions or views. For by his Spirit he builds his church in the unity of the true faith. Yes, note well, he does so in the unity of the true faith, where people are united in the Word, pray through the Spirit, and submit to the doctrine of Holy Scripture. There we see the work of God's Spirit building his church as the body of Christ. That's what determines where the church is being built, beloved, and not man's feelings, be that traditional or progressive feelings. Hence, we don't go around shopping for the church to see where we feel good or where we feel at home. Rather, we are at home where Christ's Word is central, and we feel secure where Christ's Word preserves us, and we are safe where Christ's Word defends us. And that's where believers feel good about the church too. Indeed, Christ should be central in our feelings, in our decision making, in our confession about the church. There may be lots of things that we might not like too much in the church, be that a piano or a pipe organ, or a certain culture, or a specific way of singing. But as long as Christ is its head, works by his Spirit and Word, I confess a holy church and not a pleasant church. That's where I am at home in the house of the Father and have communion in the temple of the Holy Spirit. We believe that. A holy church. Do we also see that always? A holy church? Well, I do see many good things, many works of the Spirit, yet also much unholy evidence of its sinful members. It doesn't surprise me, really, because I see much that is unholy in my own life, too. Still, I believe and confess a holy church in Christ, by whom the triune God builds his church. And so we come to our second point, the building of the church for his holiness. So how does the triune God build himself a holy church, brothers and sisters? How does Christ gather his congregation for the holiness of God, a house of God's people for his holiness? Well, we can answer those questions in a short and simple way. By his Holy Spirit. We've seen that in the previous Lord's days time and again, Verse 18, Christ ascended into heaven to manifest himself there as head of his church, to gather and govern his church by his Holy Spirit. Also, he sent his Spirit by whose power we seek the things that are above. And by his Spirit, he benefits us as he pours out heavenly gifts upon us, his members. Thus, he unites his church into a spiritual communion of true believers who confess his name and who live for God again. This church-building work manifests itself very clearly on the day of Pentecost, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It also became evident through the work of the apostles whom Christ sent into the world for that purpose. Then the Holy Spirit guided and directed their ways. He inspired their preaching and writing, and he changed the hearts of their hearers to work faith and to turn their lives that they would live it for the glory of God. From that manifestation and revelation of the work of the Holy Spirit, beloved, we also learn to see the approach of the Spirit today. He uses means, and he uses men who apply these means. When the members of the church are going to live for God's holiness, they use the means of word and sacraments, as the apostles introduced and initiated that approach. They also accept the people who are used by the Holy Spirit as instruments to bring these means, as we saw in our scripture passage. They also share in all the holy gifts and treasures which the Holy Spirit gives to all his holy ones. For as we read in verse 7, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. For our life to God, we also receive the gifts of comfort through the Holy Spirit, of joy, of song and music, of wisdom and knowledge, of faith, hope, and love. He uses that all for the building of his church, for a life in communion with God. He builds his church by his word, through the pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, as Paul puts it in verse 12, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Thus we all go to work with our gifts and treasures to serve each other, to build one another, and to employ ourselves in service to God, the Holy One. That's how the Holy Spirit makes us living members of his church, beloved. Yes, then the question should be raised every time we come across this work and this confession: do I live in such holy union? Am I involved in such holy service? Am I such a living member of Christ? What does that mean? How do we know? Then we are inclined to think of what we do for the communion of saints first, of the visits we make, the cards we send, and the activities in which we are involved. No. Then we will have to examine ourselves at this point too. First of all, to see whether we are united with Christ. Communion of saints starts with the communion with the Holy One himself through Christ. We can be living members only when we are united with Christ. Seek Christ, listen to Christ, and live in Christ, who is the head of the church. I am and forever shall remain a living member of His church when I, by faith, as member of Christ, have communion with Him and share in all His treasures and gifts. Let me illustrate this with an example from Scripture, beloved. Just think of the house of Lazarus, who lived in Bethany together with his sisters Mary and Martha. The Lord Jesus visited them. Now, if you would want to pick the living member in that household, you would go for Martha, who was so very active and busy, clearly doing something for the Lord Jesus. Yet, the Lord Jesus considers that Mary had made the right choice by listening to Him, to His word. Being a living member of the church starts there, with listening to God's word, studying the scriptures. It's first of all a matter of the heart. The communion of saints starts with Christ coming to you, seeking communion with you. Then by His Spirit, He works your response of faith as the first evidence of your life in Christ, of your communion with Christ. It's a true believer who has a living bond with Christ, who is a living member of His church. Then we may also expect that such a true faith shows in your works. For faith without works is dead. Let us first examine ourselves, however, to see why we do what we do. Is that because we want to be seen, or we want to show how good we are? We want to get the attention, or because we want to serve God, because we are moved by His Spirit, we are united with Christ? Yes, beloved, I hold this question up to you frankly, because I do get the impression sometimes that we put the emphasis on all the things we do together and for each other, while it's not so clear that we do them in unity with Christ, in love for Christ, and in service of God's holiness. You see, the church as communion of saints is first of all a communion in faith. The question, therefore, should be, do we share our faith with each other? Do we speak about our faith together? It's beautiful to see that those who are sick or grieving receive so many cards, but do we express in these cards our faith in God, our comfort in the Holy Spirit, and our treasures, benefits, and merits in Christ? That's how living members show their unity in Christ, their communion of the Holy Spirit with all the saints, and their service to God and His holiness. And so we come to our third point, the building of the church in His holiness. Why is it so important, brothers and sisters, that we have such a true bond with Christ indeed? Why should we show this bond in the way we live together and work together and share our faith in Christ together? Why is it so important that we thus share in Christ and all His benefits, treasures, and gifts? Well, because there still is so much that's lacking in the church. Yes, indeed, there is much room for criticism, and there is much that's lacking in this continuous church building that the Holy Spirit is working through Christ's words and gifts. As we have seen, the communion of saints is communion with God's holiness, communion in Christ, the Holy One, and communion with all His holy gifts. Now we should see how much this life as church leaves to be desired. Therefore, we must see this building of Christ's church in God's holiness through his blood. Our Lord's Day confesses that in the third question and answer, the forgiveness of sins. We need the washing away of our sins in Christ's blood as well. If it were not for this gift of Christ and for the benefits in his blood, beloved, we would not last in the communion of saints. If it were not for the forgiveness of sins in Christ's blood, the church building would not succeed. Yet, the building of the church in God's holiness, thankfully, also includes the forgiveness of sins. I must believe and confess that too. It must be part and parcel of our life by faith in the communion of saints as well. This too is evidence that I am a living member in Christ when I seek the forgiveness of sins in his blood and when I am able to forgive my brother and sister through the blood of Christ as well. It's proof of my communion with Christ. It's evidence of the Holy Spirit in my heart. It's also to show that I am consciously and confessionally living in communion with God and in his holiness. Yes, and where? Yes, where do we enjoy this life, this service, and this miracle of the forgiveness of saints? In the church of Christ. For in Zion are the founts of my salvation. In the church, our faith in the word of the Spirit unites us with Christ and all his benefits. In the church, the administration of reconciliation is central and enjoyed and proclaimed for the forgiveness of our sins. For the church can be a holy church only and solely through the washing away of our sins in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God, therefore, that in Christ we do have this forgiveness so that we can be church of Christ in the holiness of God. Thanks to him and thanks to our faith in the shedding of his blood, we are the body of Christ so that we can sing and must sing about the church.